Just a quick announcement. We're going to take a congregational photo immediately after services today, so at the end of the prayer, don't anybody leave. We're going to go out front and do it. Charlene is going to take the picture of the membership of the congregation, and I know everybody's not here, but this is for a gift for Glenn and Rita on their big day, and time's a little short, so we're just going to go ahead and take it, and I think they will appreciate it. Okay. Well, what's that? Yeah, you know, y'all are gonna have to take this stuff outside up here. The reason I need to move on quickly is John Chasteen is kind of panicking here because he thinks that I led him to talk on giving when I told him I would back him up, and he thinks I'm going on with something else. But I'm not. I'm backing you up. But I do think, well, anyway. All right. Neglected stories of Jesus. Have I forgotten how to do this? Not clicking. If you'll click me one, I'd appreciate it. There. There we go. Stories that don't get much play. A little bit, maybe this is something that gets a little more play than some of the others we've talked about. Stories that on their first reading seem to be simple, but have a deep meaning. Stories that remind us of the nature of Jesus when he walked the earth. This is what I've been teaching on every month this year. But our title is Selfish Giving. Okay. And that is designed to do two things. One is to get your attention, okay, because I've got a feeling you have never heard a lesson on giving called this, Selfish Giving. Okay. But number two, to get to thinking, get you to thinking about something. I'm just going to go on, see if you can figure it out. Okay, our verse is Luke 6, 38. Now, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, so we're moving back a little earlier. But I can call this neglected a little bit because we don't preach too much. We don't study too much the Sermon on the Mount out of Luke because it's shorter. And worded it a little bit differently in some of the cases than in Matthew, where Matthew dedicates three chapters to the Sermon on the Mount, but Luke includes it too, and that's what we're going to talk about. Give. See, John, I've got your back here. All right. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. I like that. You'll get it in your lap, okay? For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now let me begin here by saying that although this verse is popular in what is commonly called the prosperity gospel, it's not what we're talking about. And so let me just kind of clear that up right away. The prosperity gospel, as near as I can tell, it says this: you give money to the church and God will give you more money. Okay. You sell your house and give it to the church and you will get a bigger house. Not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about a similar process here, just not money. Not worldly goods, not a reward like you might get a reward for finding somebody's lost wallet or things like that. So give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, be put in your lap. John gave us a good scriptural background on giving, and I got to tell you, it's probably a failure of this congregation to not talk about it more, because Jesus talked about giving all the time. He talked about money all the time, over and over again. And when we neglect that part of the Christian life, we neglect some of the teaching of Jesus. So we don't need to be ashamed of it. We need to see what the real message is. Well, the first question is, why do we give? Because we're commanded? You got a question mark there? Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's not the real reason, okay? That's not the reason that we're trying to get to today. We are told to do it, okay? Because the church needs the money? Yeah. But that's not really what's going on here. Now, let me say one thing. Our giving has gone down over the last 2 years, okay? And there may be many reasons for that. Maybe some people have left. But I also want to impress upon you, if you have begun to neglect your giving, or you have had to say, well, you know, things aren't as good, I've had to cut back, or any of those kind of things, I want you to evaluate that thought process in your mind, okay? Because the last thing that we want to do is not be generous to the Lord, who has been generous to us. But it's real easy to forget to write that check on Saturday night. Okay? And I've done this before. You say, well, I'll get it next week. I forgot it. And then you forget about it. And then it's already around to the next time. You say, all right, well, you know, I'll just give it again. These little things kind of creep into our lives. Maybe we're not making as much money. Okay? Maybe we have more expenses. Okay. Maybe we have kids going to college. You kids know who you are. Okay. You're draining the economy. All these things kind of get in our way. Okay. They kind of lead us to not giving. We give because it's good for us. Okay. It's just simple. It's good for us. Why do we give our children an allowance? Okay. Because it's good for them and it's good for us. Okay. The money is well spent. Why do we do any of the things that we do for ourselves? Because we get a benefit from it. And I think one of the things we forget for giving to the church is there is a big benefit, or benefits, I guess I should say, to that. It's good to us, and this becomes selfish giving. Okay. Now, what do I mean by selfish giving? I want to impress upon you that when you make the decisions necessary to support the church, that you remember this little statement. This is good for me. This makes me a better person. This makes me a better Christian. This makes me a person who lays up treasure in heaven, not here on earth. This is the selfish part. You're not going to get a bigger house out of this. So, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. It doesn't have anything to do with it. That's not the promise. You're not going to drive a nicer car. You're not going to have a bigger bank account. None of that is the promise, but you're going to be a better person. Okay? Nobody thinks good of a parent who lets their children live in squalor while they have plenty. Nobody thinks good of a boss who is super rich and doesn't pay his workers properly. Nobody thinks of a Christian. Or no, let me rephrase that. Nobody should think of a Christian as being a spiritual person who loves money more than Christ. Okay? Loves money more than Christ. This is the selfish part. Okay? You get better. Okay? You just get better from giving. Okay? The point is this, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he is made up in his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You want the Lord to love you? There's a real strong hint. I want a way to do it. But did you notice what he says? Okay. This is not something that I can tell you what to do. This is not something that the person on the down the pew can tell you what to do. This is something that you need to make up in your mind. Now, Paul's talking about a special contribution that he took, okay? But the principle holds. And so what we have here is an giving engendering the proper attitude, okay? Giving engendering the proper attitude. Now, let me tell you the improper attitude, okay? I don't know if you have ever been anywhere where the offering is covered, got a cloth over it. You don't see it very much. Before the Depression, this is, I've been told by people older than me. I'm sorry. That they had to quit doing that. And the reason they had to quit doing that is times were hard, and what you do is you would give your money, and that was, I guess, before the time of checks, and you would put your thing in, nobody would know how much you were giving. But the problem became time were so hard that people were, you know, going in with a penny and coming out with a dollar. Okay? That's the wrong attitude, isn't it? No. Well, yeah, no. Put your money in. You're not going to come out with more money, but you're going to come out with something good for you. You're missing something in life by holding on to your stuff when the Lord's church needs it. Now, we don't need all your stuff. I'm going to tell you, we don't need enough stuff to even make a real difference in your life, okay? But we do need to do things. What do we need to do? Well, we help the poor. We give money to Bowles Home. Last year, we were able to give, I think it was $1,500 for them to buy Christmas gifts. We can't do it this year. Okay? We're running out of money. We're spending a whole lot more money than we're taking in. Okay, now, you got a chance here. Go get a gift card. Let those kids, I guess they like gift cards, okay? And let them have a gift card. My advice is don't buy the $50 gift card. Buy two 25s. Now, see, you were thinking of getting the $10 gift card, weren't you? Don't get the 10, don't get the 25, don't get the 50. Get two 25s or three 25s, okay? That's good for them, isn't it? But we can't do the stuff we need to do. We've got three missionaries. We need to keep supporting them. Okay? Two of them are in Africa, dependent on congregations like us sending money. Okay? We've got LTC. LTC costs a whole lot of money, and our kids get a whole lot of benefit from it. Okay? These are the kind of things that are good for the church, but it's also good for you. I'm going to tell you a story about my dad and my older brother. He's 13 years older than me. When I was young, very young, I think I was 3 years old, Dad preached at Sears and Summit Church of Christ down on what's now Lower Greenville and Dallas. You may know the area. And it was an old building. You know, they had bought it. It was a small building, and it just filled it up. Okay? They just filled it up. And so the elders wanted to have two services. And Daddy said, no, we're not going to have two services. We're going to pack everybody in. All the kids will come sit up here on the rostrum. Okay? They'll just sit up here. And there's two reasons. One, he didn't like two services, but the real reason was when people are a little uncomfortable, they'll give money for the building. Okay? Pack them in there, and they'll give money for the building. Now, somebody may have thought, oh, they'll leave, but they didn't do that. And my brother was 15 at the time. He had a friend that was 4 years older. And now you've got to remember, this is 1951, okay? As Tom can tell you, a good car cost, what was it, $180 back then? Yeah. And my brother still remembers that he got together $20, okay? Now that's about $400 now, according to my thing, okay? But he has benefited since 1951 from that gift. When he goes to the new building that they built, he sees something that he did. Now he wasn't selfish in the real definition of the word, but he himself got something from it, didn't he? Okay. That's what giving does for you. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. You're part of it. Okay. Has anybody ever gone out to eat with a group of people and the idea is you're going to split the check and somebody says, I haven't got any money, can you cover me? That's not a real good, that doesn't foster real good relations. You know, you don't think, don't be that guy. I'm saying guys, don't be that gal. I need to be more inclusive in my language. Don't be that woman, okay? Don't be that person. Be that person who is involved. Now, you go out, and somebody's got more money than you, and they order steak, and you order a burger, but that's okay. Okay? That's okay. But don't be the person that doesn't pitch in. Okay? Don't be the person that doesn't pitch in. Why is giving so hard? You don't believe it's hard? Would somebody give me $1,000 right now? Come on. It's not easy, is it? We're not programmed that way. We're not raised that way. With our brothers and sisters and kids, we fight over stuff. We want stuff. Keeping up with the Joneses is not the Joneses having more stuff than us, is it? Giving is difficult because it's not natural. Okay? We have this feeling that somehow we're better if we've got more. We have this feeling that somehow we're more likely to survive if we've got more. And I submit to you in the Christian context, just not true. Just not true. You know, one of the reasons we don't quote the Beatitudes from Luke, we quote it always from Matthew. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke says, blessed are the poor. That kind of bothers us a little bit. Not where we want to be. Okay, not where we want to be. It's really hard because we're just out of practice. Okay? If we're just out of practice. We get out of practice. The life gets in our way. We have a big bill that month. You just name it, and once you go a little while without giving as much as you in your heart feel like you ought to be giving, you kind of get okay with it. It's kind of like your heart's hardening a little bit, isn't it? It's kind of like, well, yeah, it's okay, you know, and I got by giving putting a dollar in the plate, you know, and it's okay. All right. We're out of practice. Now, I'm going to get you back in practice, and I'm going to brag a little bit. I'm good at this giving stuff, okay? All right? But I'm not good because of me. I'm good because of the way I was taught. All right? One of the happiest times and the happiest smiles I ever saw on my dad's face is I was about 11 and I was getting an allowance and he came up to me and he says, here, let me give you some money to put in the church. And I says, no, that's not a sacrifice. I'm going to give it out of my allowance. And I was getting a dollar and I put in a dime. Okay? And that did something good for me, but it did something great for my dad. Okay. When he was a preacher in Oklahoma City, he made $100 a month. He turned around and put 20 of it back in. Now, $100 a week. $80 a week's not a whole lot to live on when you got three kids. Okay. But he had the practice, and I learned the practice, and I just want to share with you parts of the practice. How do you do this? It doesn't just happen. If you just show up, if you just wait till the prayer on the cup is over to think, oh, I got to give some money, you're going to grab whatever's in your wallet, and you're probably going to be like me. You're going to look in there, and there'll be a 20, a 10, a 5, and a 1, and you're going to grab the 1. Because you're going to say 20 is not enough anyway. You know, I'll make it up next week. I'll make it up next month. That's what we do. It's what we're like. We're out of practice. So how do we do it? How do we get back in the practice of giving? Okay. Make a commitment in your heart and in your families. Okay. Families, if they're under the same, you know, salary, if they're under the same economic situation, need to be involved in this, but everybody needs to agree, okay, under the light of no pressure, under the light of we had a bad month, under the light of any of the things that keep us from giving, okay? Make a commitment, okay? Just make a commitment. Don't wait till we've said the prayer for the cup, okay? Give that commitment a dollar amount, because that's what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about giving money. We're talking about the things what the church needs to do its mission, which the Lord needs to do its mission. Put a dollar amount on it, okay? I'm not going to tell you a dollar amount any more than Paul told the Corinthians, a dollar amount, or a drachma amount, or whatever the amount would have been at the time. But I am going to tell you this. At first, the tithe is a good guide. Okay? John talked about this last week. Okay? But there's something wise about a percentage. Okay? And here's where it is wise. One, the person that makes more money gives more money. Okay? But the person that doesn't make as much money has a similar sacrifice. So if I make $100, and you make $50 under the tithe, I would give 10 and you would give 5. I would give more, but you would get just as much out of it spiritually as I would, maybe more. Okay? The tithe is a good guide. Did you notice that I said at first? One of the interesting things when you read in the Old Testament for the Israelites is the tithe was just a small amount of what they gave. In fact, most estimates say that they gave to this combination of the temple and the government about 30%, okay? And that can be burdensome, can't it? Okay. But the good thing about the tithe is it kind of ties us to historical giving, okay? It's just a good guide, but just be prepared, okay? I got to warn you. I just got to warn you on this. Just be prepared. If you get good at tithing, you'll probably end up 11, 12, 13, 15%. Okay. But I'm going to not warn you by saying this. If that happens to you, you'll be happier. Okay. You'll enjoy it. You'll feel good about it. Be selfish. All right. Now here's the one I think where many people fall down on. Pay the Lord first. You have heard the financial advice, pay yourself first, okay? That means if you're going to save money, okay, don't spend all your money and at the end of the month take something and save it. At the beginning of the month, take a certain amount out and put it in your savings account, okay? That's the way you really save. Because all of us, if we don't do that, end up like the old country and western song. In my, there's great truth in old country western songs about too much month at the end of the money. Have you ever been there? Too much month at the end of the money? Okay. Well, paying the Lord first avoids that. Because most of us, have you ever noticed phrase, you just don't have any more money at the end of the month? Have you ever noticed that? You know, it's all of a sudden we wake up in the middle of the night and go, you know, I've got money to buy this. I hadn't thought about that. I have got money to buy this, so we pay the Lord first. Make a commitment. My advice is make it a dollar amount, okay? if you don't know the proper amount for you, what's in your heart, look back to the Old Testament for the 10% as a guide, okay? But pay the Lord first. Now, how do you do that, okay? I do it by just giving at the beginning of the month. I notice Glenn and Rita, they put their check in every week. There's all kinds of ways to doing it, but make it an act of your worship. Make it an act of your planning, and make it money that is not viewed as belonging to you. Because when you think this is my money, your tendency is to hold on to it. When you think this is the Lord's money, your tendency is to give it to the Lord. All right. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's what we're really talking about. We're talking about laying up treasure in heaven. Okay? And you can just make all kinds of theological arguments about this, but this is what the Lord says. Giving your money to the Lord lays up treasure in heaven. Holding on to this money for yourself makes it rust, makes it get stolen, makes it ineffective. Okay? And here's the most important part, and this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about bank account balances. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about what's inside us, what kind of person we are. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want your heart to be heavenly, give generously.